genius in all of us. Why everything you've been told about genetics, talent, and IQ is wrong. Author, David Schenck. Innate talent, reality or myth? Could a perfectly ordinary man actually train himself to be a dazzling phenomenon? It's true greatness obtainable from everyday means and everyday genes. Conventional wisdom says no, that some people are simply born with certain gifts while others are not. That talent and high intelligence are somewhat scarce gems, scattered throughout the human gene pool. That the best we can do is to locate and polish these gems, and accept the limitations built into the rest of us. Talent is a function of acquired skills. Regardless of whether a child seems to be exceptional, mediocre, or even awful at any particular skill at a particular point in time, the potential exists for that person to develop into a high-achieving adult. Because talent is a function of acquired skills rather than innate ability. Adult achievement depends completely on long-term attitude, resources, and process, rather than any particular age-based talent quotient. How many runners and swimmers have gotten so much faster, and chess and tennis players gotten so much more skillful? Some people are training harder and smarter than before. We're better off at stuff because we've figured out how to become better. Talent is not a thing, it's a process. How genes really work. Genes dictate, genes instruct, genes determine. For more than a century, this has been the widely accepted explanation of how each of us becomes us. That notion is still with us, that genes set the stage, affirms USA Today. The environment has an impact on all of our lives to be sure, but genes come first. They set a specific lower and upper limits of each person's potential abilities. None of us have realised that over the last two decades, those ideas have been thoroughly upgraded. So much so that one large group of scientists now suggests that we need to wipe the slate clean and construct an entirely new understanding of genes. Interactionism. This new vanguard is a loose-knit group of geneticists, neuroscientists, cognitive psychologists, and others, some of whom call themselves developmental systems theorists. But we call them interactionists because of their emphasis on the dynamic interaction between genes and the environment. Not all of the interactionist views have yet been fully accepted, and they freely acknowledge their ongoing struggle to articulate the full implications of their findings. To understand interactionism, you must first try to forget everything you think you know about heredity. The popular conception of the gene as a simple causal agent is not valid. The gene cannot be seen as an autonomous unit and as a particular stretch of the DNA, which always produces the same effect. Whether or not a length of DNA produces anything, what it produces and where it, and when it was produced, it may depend on other DNA sequences and on the environment. It turns out that they interact with their surroundings and they can say different things depending on whom they are talking to. This obliterates the long-term standing metaphor of genes as blueprints with elaborate pre-designed instructions for eye colour, thumb size, mathematical quickness, musical sensitivity, etc. We can now come up with more accurate metaphor. Rather than finished blueprints, genes, or the 22,000 of them, are more like volume knobs and switches. Think of a giant control board inside every cell of your body. Many of those knobs and switches can be turned up, down, on or off at any time, by another gene or by any minuscule environmental input. This flipping and turning takes place constantly. It begins the moment a child is conceived and doesn't stop until he takes his last breath. Rather than giving us hardwired instructions on how a trait must be expressed, this process of gene-environment interaction drives a unique developmental path for every unique individual. The new interactionists call it GXE for short, genes multiplied by environment. It's become central to the understanding of all genetics. Recognition of the GXE means that we now realise that genes powerfully influence the information of all traits, from eye colour to intelligence, but rarely dictate precisely what those traits will be. This new dynamic model of GXE is very different from the old static model of the G plus E, genes plus environment. Under the old paradigm, genes come first and set the stage. They dealt each of us our first hand of cards, and only afterward could we add to the environmental influences. The new model begins with interaction. There is no genetic foundation that gets laid before the environment enters in. Rather, genes express themselves strictly in accordance with their environment. In the GXE world, genetic differences still matter enormously, but on their own, they don't determine who we are. How to be a genius. What about you? Can you be a musical genius, a great poet, a world-class chef? It's easy to look at yourself and say impossible. But the simple truth is no one can make such a judgment early in the process. The following are some guiding principles for the ambitious. Find your motivation. The single greatest lesson from past ultra achievers is not how easily things come to them, but how impressible and resilient they are. You have to want it. Want it so bad that you will never give up. So bad that you are ready to sacrifice time, money, sleep, friendship, even your reputation because many people think of you as odd. You'll have to adopt a particular lifestyle of ambition. Not just for a few weeks or months, but for years and years. Be your own toughest critic. We live under the great myth of the perfect first draft. While moments of inspiration do exist, great work is, for the most part, painstaking, cannot happen without the most severe and constructive self-criticism. Beware of the dark side. Just as practitioners of judo turn an opponent's attacking energy and momentum into weakness, those with high ambition must constantly turn failure to opportunity. If left to fester in humiliation or bitterness, defeat can take a powerful toll. Identify your limitations and then ignore them. Any possible achievements are years off, far from certain and often difficult to even envision. Practical distance between your current ability and your desired ability is so enormous that your goal will appear to you and anyone near you is simply unattainable. Greatness isn't one step beyond mediocrity. It transcends mediocrity and does it so by taking one step beyond and then another step beyond. Hundreds of thousands of tiny steps until the distance can neither be measured nor even fathomed. The only way to get there is to get there faster, harder, longer than almost anyone else. To push past the point of logical reason. If it looked easy or even attainable to most, then many more would get there. Delay gratification and resist contentedness. In consumer culture, we constantly condition to gratify our impulse immediately. Buy, eat, watch, and click now. High achievers transcend these impulses. The big prize is envisioned and appreciated as a far-off goal. It's not lusted after. Small accomplishments along the way provide more than enough satisfaction to continue. Have heroes. Heroes inspire, not just by their great work, but also by their humble beings. Genes do not dictate who we are to become, but instead are actors in dynamic process. Genetic expression is modulated by outside forces. Inheritance comes in many different forms. We inherit stable genes, but also alterable epigenes. We inherit languages, ideas, attitudes, but can also change them. Everything shapes us and everything can be shaped by us. The genius in all of us is our built-in ability to improve ourselves and our world.